Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we're going to start in verse 13. We're at the end of the book of Luke in this chapter, and it is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, the Bible says that, "Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for our time this evening. We're thankful that one more time we can gather together as a church family and spend it in your word. And tonight we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts this evening. And we pray that you would teach us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I remember it was several years ago that the kids had, it was an I Spy book. I don't know if that's probably a brand name, but I don't know if it was that. But it was something along that lines. And each page had like a picture that was just filled with hundreds of different items. A lot of times it would be toys or different things, and it would all be based on one theme, right? But you've seen these before, right? These pictures, and they're filled with all of these items. And I remember one, I think it was like a kid's bedroom, and it was just filled with toys, right? Toys everywhere. Parents' nightmare, right? But a very interesting picture to look at. And so they had these pictures filled with all these different items, and you know, they were just so interesting. You could spend a lot of time just looking at them and finding all the little things. They were just so packed with so many interesting and neat things to look at. But on each page, it would give you a list, and it would say, okay, on this page, we want you to find like 5 toy cars in this picture, you know, or 6 bouncy balls, you know, or all these sort of things, like 7 umbrellas in this picture or whatever. And so they would send you on this sort of hunt to look for these specific items, and you were on that mission to find one specific thing in that picture, even though there were so many things to look at. And tonight, I think we can kind of relate that to the Bible, because there's so many interesting things to look at in the Word of God. But really, there's one thing that we need to be specifically looking for, and should I say one person that we need to be looking for throughout the Word of God. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. And we're going to start a new series that we're going to call Seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. And That should be our focus when we approach the Word of God. But as we begin, this will be our introduction to this series. And by way of introduction, I want to ask us this question. Why do we need to see Jesus? Why do you need to see Jesus in the Word of God? And our answer is because seeing Jesus changes you. Seeing Him changes you. And isn't that what all of us want? We want to be changed. We want that growth in our lives. And, you know, we're here in Luke chapter 24, and the idea of Jesus Christ changing people is all throughout the gospel. I mean, that's the story of the gospels. We can start back at, you know, near the beginning with Mary and Joseph, and just that announcement to them of Jesus Christ, that the Messiah would come through them, that changed them. That changed their life. We think about how it changed everything for the disciples. These men who were fishermen now became fishers of men when they saw Jesus Christ. And you think about those disciples and how much their life changed. Then we have Matthew, that tax collector. His life changed when he met Jesus Christ, when he saw him. I think about Bartimaeus, that blind man who was a beggar, and how his life changed when he met Jesus Christ. And there was a song written about him. The song is entitled "Then Jesus Came," and it's the first verse is about this man. The song was written by Oswald Smith, and you might have known this song. George Beverly Shea, he was known to sing this for like in the Billy Graham Crusades. But it's "Then Jesus Came," and the first verse says, "One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bid his darkness flee." And the chorus says, "When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory." And then it makes this conclusion: "For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay." And that's what we see, right? We see in all these people's lives. We think about the woman at the well, right? She was just there to fetch water. Like just a common task that she probably did multiple times the week, maybe in every day. But this time was different because she saw Jesus Christ. We think about Lazarus. I mean, his life changed. We could say his death changed because he saw Jesus Christ. And that just that transformation. We think about Nicodemus, right? This Pharisee who came to meet Jesus Christ by night. And all his questions, and when he really saw who Jesus Christ was, it changed his life. In Luke chapter 24, it changed the lives of these two disciples traveling to Emmaus, right, on that road as they finally saw Jesus Christ. We get into the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? This man who was just traveling in his chariot, and Philip goes to meet him, right? And this man's got all these questions about the book of Isaiah where he's reading from, and the Bible says that Philip showed him Jesus Christ from Isaiah. And that Ethiopian eunuch saw Jesus Christ, and his life changed because of that. Paul on the road to Damascus, his life was changed when he saw Jesus Christ. And these are just a few that I've picked out from the Gospels and the book of Acts. But there are so many more. And what we find over and over and over again, this consistent pattern, not just in their lives, but we've also seen it in our life, is that when we see Jesus, he changes us. Seeing him changes us. And in Acts chapter 17, here's another account. Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're traveling to Thessalonica, and they're going there to preach, right, the gospel. So they get there and they go in the synagogue like they do, and they preach Jesus Christ to those Jewish men in that synagogue. And we're familiar with the story, right? The people there, they don't like all the things that are happening because of Christ being preached. So they stir up this sort of riot, and they start a riot. And in all their accusations, one of the things they say is they say that about Paul and the people that with him, they say, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." And that was their description as they try to explain about this. They said, you know what they've done is they turned the world upside down. And that was the change. And, you know, I think if we don't have Paul's response to this, But if I had to guess, I think Paul would say, you know what? It wasn't us. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been turning the world upside down. Because they said, you know what? It was Paul, his preaching. But it wasn't. It was Jesus Christ who was making all of these changes. And that's what Jesus Christ is able to do. And it's not just a thing of the past, is it? It's something that he continues to do in our lives. I think invariably, if you would ask a child what their favorite word is, I think most of them would say pizza, right? You know, pizza. And honestly, it doesn't change when we get older. We just get a little embarrassed about saying that anymore. So we feel like we need to pick something a little more mature, or like steak, you know, or fish, or I don't know, something a little that sounds a little better than pizza. But no matter what your favorite food is, I think if you ate that every day for an extended period of time, you're going to get sick of that food. I don't care how much you liked it before, how great it is. If that's all you have, if there is no change in your diet, that's going to get pretty old, right? They ask the question, would you eat, you know, pizza for a year for $1 million? I don't know. You know, like $1 million is a lot of money, but I don't know if I could do it. Pizza all I could eat. Maybe I could do it for $1 million, but without change, right? If that's all you have, it's just the same all the time. It gets old. And in our life, if there is no hope of change for us, if we can't look at our life and say, you know what, I know that Jesus Christ can change my life. If we take that aside and say, you know what, it's just going to be how it is, it gets very discouraging for us. We have to be able to hold on to that hope that someone can change our life, that someone can make a difference. And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Paul is talking about the return of Jesus Christ and the rapture. And I mentioned this in chapel to the elementary and the junior high and high school. That was probably a couple weeks ago. But here's an interesting thought. Verse 51, it's not original to me, but it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And I asked the kids, I said, how fast is the twinkling of an eye? And, you know, they have some sort of length. You know, it's something about like light reflecting off your eye and how fast that is. But it's too fast for us to comprehend. It's faster even than blinking. Right? But it's that fast. And it says, in that amount of time, it says, we will be changed. Now, how much of us is God going to change in the twinkling of an eye? Well, all of us, right? And he says, verse 53, the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There is that whole change. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's that change. And what's interesting is how fast God is able to change us. In the twinkling of an eye, amen, he can make that change to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. And I like what the Lord said in Mark chapter 10. He said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." And that includes Jesus changing you, changing those tough areas of your life. Because he can do it, and he can do it in the twinkling of an eye. He can do it very quickly. That's the power of Jesus Christ to transform us. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things in our life that we just accept what they are. And we maybe look at them and say, you know, this is just who I am. It's the way I am. It's just, this is just my life. But if we look at Jesus, all of a sudden we see that he is able to do something about that. That he can change those areas of our life. Because seeing Jesus changes us. Now, a lot of us have to wear glasses, right? It's kind of the way our eyes are. I got my glasses. It was back in junior high or something. But do you remember when you got glasses, if you have glasses, right? Before that, you were squinting at everything, right? If you were in school, it's It's the old, I can't see the board, you know, or I got to move to the front of the class. Nobody wants to do that. I'd rather have glasses than sit in the front of the classroom, right? And, you know, you're struggling to see the board. You can't read road signs and all of those things. And then you get glasses, and boy, all of a sudden you can see things far away. You're like, oh, I didn't know that said that or that looked like that, right? Because all of a sudden you've got these glasses. But it's not like the roadside signs changed or that the teacher started writing any clear on the board. It's that you've got these glasses and now you're able to see things differently. The glasses change how you see things. And Jesus Christ is able to do that. And he changes how we see everything else. In our the men's Sunday school class, I know in some other classes too, we're going through that book on Peter, right? Which is an incredible study, and we're really enjoying it. And it wasn't this Sunday school class, it was the one before that we were talking about. We're going through Peter's betrayal of Jesus Christ. And so we know when it was time for Jesus Christ's trial, the soldiers came to take Jesus Christ away, and Peter had said, I will not betray you, I will not deny you. And then he did, right? And so there's this time in Peter's life that, you know, there was that shame and that reproach on him because he denied Jesus Christ. And I'm sure it was going through Peter's mind that he was facing death at that time because they had taken Jesus Christ away, right, to crucify him. And so I'm sure that was going through Peter's mind saying, I don't want to die. As much as I said I would, now it comes down to it. And he changed his mind. But then we come to the end of Peter's life, and we just have tradition that says that Peter was crucified, and he chose to be crucified upside down. But what's very interesting is he faced that same thing that he had faced before, right? He had faced death, and he said, I'll deny Jesus Christ before I die. But at the end of his life, he had that same opportunity again, and this time he went to that cross, not denying, holding true to Jesus Christ. And we see this difference in Peter's life. Jesus Christ changed him. That's all we can point to. That's all we can say is this, that in between that time, Jesus Christ made a miraculous difference in Peter's life. And he completely changed how Peter looked at suffering and how Peter looked at death. And what we find is in really early in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, right, we'll go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 5. This is not long after Peter's betrayal and then the resurrection of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 5, we're going to be down in verse 41. But Peter and John, as they're preaching Christ, they're arrested for that and they're even beaten for that. So, well, we'll read verse 40. It says, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Look at their attitude. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's the difference that Jesus Christ made in Peter's life. That Peter would go from that beating, rejoicing that he was counted worthy to suffer shame. And what's interesting is that's their attitude that we find as they would write these letters to these churches. They looked at suffering and they looked at persecution as this great honor that God had bestowed upon them, that they could be like Jesus Christ in this area. That as Jesus Christ suffered, that they were called upon and that they were counted worthy of this honor of suffering. And Jesus completely changed how they looked at that. He changed their perspective on all of this. And that's what Jesus Christ can do. Seeing him changes you. It'll change who you are. It'll change how you look at things when we really see Jesus Christ. And so when we approach this idea of seeing Jesus Christ and we say, well, why do I need to see Jesus Christ? The answer is because he will change you. Because seeing him changes you. And if we go back to our text in Luke chapter 24, we're just going to spend a few minutes looking at three characteristics that were present in these disciples and as they didn't see Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ was able to change. Now, these are not all the ways that Jesus Christ can change us. I just want to give us an idea of what Jesus Christ can do when we see him. So in verse 13 of Luke chapter 24, Behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Behold, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Jesus Christ is able to change our sadness. Now, is it ever okay for a Christian to be sad or to be sorrowful as a Christian? Is it okay for us to not be joyful all the time? And of course, we say, yes, it is. And from Scripture, we can get maybe an idea of those sort of times. We know from John chapter 11 that Jesus Christ wept at the death of Lazarus, right? It's okay to be sorrowful over the death of someone. In Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah was sad over the destruction of the temple and over the destruction of Jerusalem, of God's city, and over his people and their captivity. Romans chapter 12, the Bible talks about weeping with those that weep, sharing in the sorrows of those around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about being sorrowful over sin. And there are very acceptable reasons for a Christian to be sorrowful and to be sad. But there is also sadness that comes just from bad theology, from not seeing Jesus Christ like we should. And as these two men were walking and talking together, verse 14 says they talked about all these things which had happened, and Jesus Christ notes that as they were talking about these things, that they were very sad about that. And, I mean, we could talk about all the things that are happening, and we could get sad about those things, right? And talk about, you know, the politics and pandemic, and even for our third P there, the Patriots, right? We could be really sad about that, or you could put your sports team in there maybe, but you know, it's easy to take those things and make those the culprit and say, you know, that's the reason I'm sad. I'm sad because this is happening or that's happening. I'm sad about these things. But really the issue is that we're not seeing Jesus Christ in those things or through those things. We're looking just at those things and not at Jesus Christ. And I don't want to re-preach, you know, last Sunday morning's message, but in everything, give thanks, right? And we had the word of involvement, of in, right? As we see Christ working in those things, we see he's involved in our life. Then we had the word of extent in everything, because we trust that in all things, Jesus Christ is working. And we can look at all the things in our life, and we could see Christ in those things. We could see who he is, even as he's working in all the different areas of our life. And when you see Jesus Christ in everything and through everything, and maybe even sometimes despite everything, when you see Jesus, he gives us joy, right? He changes that sadness into joy. And even those acceptable types of sorrow, they're different for a believer. It's different for someone who sees Jesus Christ. And yes, there's still mourning and there's still sadness, but it's a different sort of sadness than the world who cannot see Jesus Christ and who does not see Jesus Christ. But for us who see Jesus through the Word of God, yes, there are times of sadness, but then there's also times where he just gives us that peace that passes understanding, and he gives us that joy that endures because we see Jesus Christ. And seeing Jesus changes our sadness. Also in verse 19, As Jesus Christ asked them, well, in verse 18, why they're sad, one of them, verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of us, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Come down to verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The second characteristic that Jesus Christ changed was their faithlessness. Their faithlessness. Jesus Christ calls them slow of heart to believe. And you know, if all we had were verses 19 down through verse 24, as they talk about Jesus Christ and kind of all the things that they knew, I think maybe we'd look at them and say, you know what? I would guess that they're full of faith, you know, because you look at it and go, well, they said he was a mighty prophet in word and deed before God and all the people in verse 19. They talk about that, hey, this is the third day after his crucifixion. They talk about that his body is missing and what the women did not see at the tomb and how the angels even told them that they were alive and that was corroborated by other people who saw that. And if that's all we had, we'd say, wow, you know, they've got all the pieces. They've got everything in place. How are they not believing? They must believe. Right? We would come down to the end of verse 24 and they'd say, they definitely believe. Oh, they know. They're onto it, right? They've caught on. But they didn't. They hadn't caught on at this point. And we see all the pieces kind of laid out there, all the pieces of the puzzle going, it's right there. You know, it's right in front of you. Just like put that one there and put that one. And you got the whole picture that Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, but they still hadn't believed. And what's interesting is what Jesus Christ points out to them about himself in verse 26. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He said, what you don't see is Jesus, the suffering Savior. You see him as this one who's supposed to be victorious and the Redeemer. You see him as the Messiah, but you're missing one piece, and that is that he is going to be the suffering Savior. Right, they had a puzzle, but it was like those Goodwill puzzles, right? You've gotten those, you get them home, and always they're missing a piece, right? Always. They were missing this very important piece about who Jesus Christ was, that he was going to have to suffer. And when they saw that, when he pointed out that to them, that was that piece that they needed. And sometimes our faith is like one of those puzzles, where it's like we've got a lot there, but we're missing a couple pieces. There's just a couple things that maybe we're not seeing about Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's, you know, it's like we know him, but they haven't really registered with us. And they haven't impacted us yet. And we need to see those again. And we need to see who Jesus Christ is. And when we doubt, it's because we're not seeing really who Jesus Christ is. I mean, maybe we're looking at our problems or ourselves or something, but doubt comes about when we don't see Jesus Christ. Because when we look at Jesus Christ and we see all of who he is, that inspires faith in us. That gives us the confidence and the courage to trust in him. So seeing Jesus Christ not only changed their sadness, it also changed their faithlessness. And then the third characteristic, in verse 33, as Jesus Christ talks to them, their eyes are opened in verse 31. And so then verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Number three, it changed their speechlessness. Their speechlessness. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't have anything against it. I just don't like the taste, specifically the aftertaste. So, not being a coffee drinker, I don't know anything about it. And I think it was Erica's birthday. I was like, I'm going to make breakfast. And she likes coffee. I'll make coffee for her. So I go out there and don't ask me how breakfast went. It didn't go well. But I was like, well, coffee, okay? So I look at the coffee pot and I had this realization. I don't know how to make coffee in a coffee pot. I've never done it before. I've done a Keurig and that's different, but we don't have one of those. And I looked at it and went, I lifted the top and went, okay, I know water goes in here and I know coffee grounds. I think there's a filter involved. But I went, I honestly don't know how to do that. But sometimes I get stuck in these conversations about coffee that people will have, you know, and they talk about all sorts of things, right? Like the different places you get it, locations and the different tastes and all of that and the different notes that you can find in these different coffee. They talk about, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, whether they like it or not, or you know, Starbucks, whether they like it or not. They talk about grinding it and roasting it and all these sort of things. And honestly, I sit there and go, I have nothing to offer to these conversations. But I just have nothing to say about this. I don't know anything. I don't know enough to like add anything to this conversation. And I'm sure there's, you know, you probably have topics that you can think of that go, I'd be the same way if they were talking about this. But I don't know anything about that. So I would just be like, nothing to add. There's some people that they seem to know something about everything. But you know, I would, like, there's different topics where you go, I just don't know enough to speak about it. And here in Luke chapter 24, what's interesting is I was reading through what they said, right? And you look at what they say in verses 19 down through verse 24, and they say a lot, but it's all about what other people saw. They're talking about other people's experiences, right? Especially when it comes down to verse 22, and they talk about certain women that were at the sepulcher that didn't find his body, and the women saw the angels. There were certain others, verse 24, who went to the sepulcher, and they found it the same as the women had, but him they saw not. And they're talking a lot about other people, what other people saw, what other people didn't see. And it's like they don't have this personal, anything that they personally can add to this conversation. And then we find, after Jesus Christ appears to them, they come down in verse 35. It says, they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. It wasn't anymore about what other people saw, what other people had said. Now they had something personally that they could add, where they could personally testify of Jesus Christ, that he had shown himself to them. And that's important for every single one of us, to be able to personally testify of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We should all have that personal testimony of us seeing Jesus Christ. And first seeing him as our Savior, but then seeing him as so much more in our life. And we go on and talk about all the ways that Jesus Christ has shown himself to us. And we need to have that personal testimony of salvation and then of Jesus Christ just consistently working in our life. And he changed their speechlessness so that he gave them a reason to testify and a reason to speak. But seeing Jesus, seeing him changes us, right? Our sadness, our faithlessness, and then our speechlessness. And that's the name of this series, Seeing Jesus. And in verse 27, it gives us our outline, I guess, or our goal for this series. So look in verse 27. And it says of Jesus Christ that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And that's what we're going to do. That's our goal, is to take every single book of the Bible, and I'm going to preach one message from every single book, and each message is just going to find Jesus Christ and see Jesus Christ from those different books of the Bible. Now, some of you are going, okay, you're going to talk about Jesus Christ from one message from the entire book of John that you just spent like 2 years going through. Of course, this isn't going to cover everything, but our goal is to see Jesus Christ, see something about who he is, about his person, his nature, his character, just one thing from each book, because that's what Jesus Christ did with these two disciples. He started back at the beginning. We're going to start at Genesis, right? And just go through the Word of God and see Jesus Christ. And I've been kind of going ahead and looking at a number of these different books, and it's so amazing just to think about who Jesus Christ is. But we need to see him. We need to see Jesus Christ, because every single aspect of who he is affects us in some way. And it will have an impact upon our life when we really see Jesus Christ in all his different attributes. Do you know, I imagine if you were, we just came through Thanksgiving, right? Imagine if you were in charge, and some of you were, but for the rest of us, imagine if you were in charge of cooking Thanksgiving dinner, right? It was all on you. And so you do your best, right? Some of us would Google a lot of things, watch a lot of YouTube videos about how to make food, right? And so you do this, you prepare all the food, you've got it ready, and then, you know, the relatives start to show up in small numbers, keeping it less than 10. But you had 9, right? And so somebody invited a guest. And so you greet them and you say, welcome, you introduce yourself, they introduce themselves, and you find out that they are a chef, the head chef, at a 5-star restaurant in Paris. And they are there to partake of the meal that you made. Finding out that about them is going to change some things about how you act, right? For me, I'm probably running to the kitchen and putting cheese, a lot more cheese on things, right? Or maybe like some salt and pepper or something, I don't know. It's going to change the things you say, right? I'll be making some excuses. you know, I had to Google a lot of things, you know. And it's just going to change everything when you find out who that person is. And that's our goal with Jesus Christ, is to find out just more about who he is so that it will change us. So that it'll change how we act, how we talk, how we think, how we feel, all of these things. And we need to see Jesus Christ. We need it as Christians. And so I want to leave us with this question tonight. What do you want Jesus Christ to change in you? What do you want Jesus Christ to change in your life? We're coming up on Christmas. We're all making our Christmas wish list, right? And people are asking you, hey, you know, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want me to get you? What do you want in your stocking? All these things. What's our spiritual wish list? What is it that when we look at our lives, we say, you know what? I need Jesus Christ to change this in my life. I wish this was different. I wish I was more like Christ in this area. I wish in my thoughts or my words or my actions or whatever it is, I wish I was more like Christ in this. And then I want you to pray about this with me. And I want you to ask the Lord to show you those areas that he wants to change and that you would want to change those as well. And then second prayer request would be this. Ask the Lord to show himself to you in such a way that it will change those areas. And would you pray about those things with me? What God would have you to change in your life, and then ask the Lord to show himself to you. Because the Lord can do that. The Lord can change us in incredible ways, and in ways that he wants to conform us to his image. And I'm excited about this series. I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm excited to see Jesus Christ more and more. And then I'm excited to see the ways that he's going to change us and make us more like himself. Let's close with prayer.